It is March 22nd. This is the DNS forum session. Starting recording now. Thank you.
Yeah. Right. Good morning, everybody. We'll be starting shortly. Please feel free to bring your breakfast into the room if you would like to eat in this room. So we'll start in about 2 more minutes. Thank you. Right. A very good morning to everybody. Thanks for coming. All right, welcome to the first meeting of Sunday. We are going to start the Registrar DNS Forum, where we'll look at the operational issues after the new GTR registry gets delegated. You know, what are the issues and challenges that they faced? So we'll kickstart with a opening by Krista, our director for GC services, followed by another opening by Mr. Quek, our VP for Asia, as well as the MD for the APEC Hub. They'll be sharing by the GC services team, followed by the technical services team, and they will end off with a panel discussion, conforming of panelists from the registries and the registrar. All right. I'd like to invite Krista to give us an opening. Thank you.
Thank you, Han-Chuan. Good morning, everybody, and thank you for joining us. Krista Papik, for those of you that don't know me. So it's wonderful to be here in Singapore. I was here for the 2011 meeting when the new GTLD program was approved, and it's funny how the lay of the hotel comes back to you after a couple days. I just really wanted to thank everybody for coming today, to thank Han-Chuan for pulling this together, to make sure that it's clear how important this region of the world is to us and that we are continuing to build the team both for registry and registrar here in Singapore to support the Asia-Pacific region and make sure there's people available to assist you in your time zone and that understands your region and the challenges and opportunities that exist here. I also want to take this opportunity to thank Ching for being our moderator of the panel discussion later on today. Thank you for that. And with that, I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to Quek to talk to you a little bit about our strategy here in Asia Pacific. Thank you.
Thank you, Krista. And thank you very much, everyone. My name is Quek, and I'm ICANN's representative in the region. As many of you know, I'm just the generalist who flies around and makes speeches. It's people like Han-Chuan that really is the interface with you guys on many of the very critical issues that is faced in the industry. I think first and foremost, welcome to the ICANN meetings. Over the next week, you will hear many, many issues being discussed, and that's the nature of ICANN. If you are law enforcement, you might be interested in the Whois. If you're a brand protection lawyer, you might be interested in a trademark clearinghouse. We touch many facets of the entire industry. But really, if you look at the bedrock of the things that we do, the relationship with registries and registrars are really the cogs of the wheel that keeps the whole machinery running. I think that for the group, there are many things that we can do together. For people who I'm pretty new in the role. I've been here for 7 months, and for people who I've had the opportunity to have conversations with, you know that we have an APEC engagement strategy underway, but many of these points do not necessarily touch the contracted parties or the registries and registrars. We are trying to address that starting from this ICANN meeting. And frankly, at every single ICANN meeting, we hope to come back to the community, especially to this group, to show how we have moved the needle to make things better. What can we do more in terms of the contracting parts? Should we do a better job of sharing information or providing clarifications and explanations for the contracts that you guys have to go through, for example? But over and beyond ICANN's interactions with you, I think that this is a great opportunity for industry players like yourselves to get to know each other a little better, to understand each other's business models and basically create a network of industry participants. So I'm very happy that, you know, we're kicking off on a Sunday morning at 8 a.m. doing this. Thank you for being here. I imagine that there are many things you can do on a Sunday, but you've chosen to be here. I thank you for that. I thank the fantastic team as well as, you know, industry friends, old and new, like Ching and many other friends that we see around here. I wish you a very successful day ahead.
Thank you, Craig and Krista. All right, we'll kick off with the first presentation of the day. We'll do a sharing on the registry services. So
do you want me to do it?
No, it's okay. I'll do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, just that you can leave anytime.
Okay.
No,
So is this working? All right. How can I? It's okay. All right, good morning again. I'm Han Chuan, one of the members of the Registry Services team. I'll be sharing with you who the Registry team is, what we do, and then the kind of interactions that we have with the registrars, both in the region as well as globally. Oops, sorry. Okay. All right, so give an introduction of who we are, what we do, and how you know the registries have been engaging with us over the years, and talk about how the registries and the registry services team could actually interact more in the future. Okay, thanks. All right, I'm sure you have heard of the GDD team. We always call ourselves GDD. So GDD stands for Global Domains Division. All right, this is a whole new division under ICANN, where Akram is the president to look after the new GTRD program. Under the GDD division, we have a department known as the DNS Industry Engagement. And under the DNS Industry Engagement, we have three services team, namely the Registry Services, the Registrar Services, and the Technical Services. So as the name suggests, registry services, we take care of services relating to registries, registrar to registrars, and technical services, technical in general. Right. So later, Francisco will share with you about the technical services. So what is it that we do? So registry services, we will define what are the products and services relating to the new GTRD registries. So as some of you are familiar with things like onboarding, things like your centralized zone file access, so these are the kind of products and services that we have been defining. So we look at what are the kind of processes that is involved, what kind of systems that we need to develop and build to make it easier for everybody. And then we look at the implementation of all these processes and systems. Right? And as many of you are familiar with, we have been rolling out more and more of such products over the years, even over the months. Right? And the other core functions that we do is the engagement with the registries. We work with you on your services, what we call the registry services, and as well as your contracts. So if you have any questions or query, we try to help you to make sure that everything is in line with what we have, what the policy has stated. All right, and this kind of interactions with the registry is an ongoing kind of relationship. So we do not just stop after contracting or whatever, and you don't see us anymore. So we will actually continue on this kind of engagements with the registries, hopefully forever until the internet ends. Right, next. So how have the registry been engaging us? So these are some of the systems and means that you have been familiar with. So in terms of system, we have the RS, we have the CZDZ, the AROS that you have been using to interact with us. There's always the phone, the email means that you can always pick up a call, drop us a mail, and we'll definitely respond to you. ICANN has also created my ICANN portal, the community portal, whereby you are able to see what kind of projects that the registry services team is carrying on at the moment, and you can even give us feedbacks or inputs on how this is going. Oops. And as most of you are very familiar with, we have the customer portal. Okay. It's okay. Sorry. When the network is lost, everything is gone. Okay, and yes, the big bubble on the right, the custom portal that the registry has been using in your application to interact with the ICANN team on your contract and on your applications. So these are some of the systems and all the means that we have been using to interact with the registry. But going forward, and as we announced on the 17th of March, this year, we are launching the GDD portal. So basically, we'll try to communicate all registry-related activities directly to ICANN in a one centralized location, and so that it makes it easier for everybody. So as you can see in the previous slides, there are a few systems out there, and it can get quite daunting to remember where to go and know which portal to use. So we have actually consolidated everything into one portal, so it makes it easier for everybody, including ICANN, including registries, to interact with each other. So in this portal, we're going to start with the registry onboarding, the Sunrise processors, your contact information, as well as your TLD startup information. So these are some of the services that we have already built into the GDD portal. Going forward, we will gradually integrate more and more such functions and systems into the GDD portal so that it's easy for registries to interact with the ICANN registry team. Okay. Oh, sorry. Okay. So I really encourage the registries to talk to us. During the ICANN meeting, you can always catch us. My colleague Anne, she's also from the registry team next to me here. I'm sure some of you have interacted with her. So feel free to talk to us. We are here to help you, the registries, in your relationship and your contracts with ICANN. So we're not here. We are your friends in ICANN, so to speak. So feel free to come and talk to us. Any issues relating to your registries, anything to the services that you want to offer, to your contracts or whatever, we'll be most glad to help you in whatever we can. And please catch us in the corridor if you ever want to talk to us. All right. So I'd like to open to the floor for any questions. If not, then okay. Well, we have a question in the online. Right. For the transcript, can you please state your name and affiliation? Thanks.
Alex Lee, Namerich. Thanks for the presentation. I was just wanted to know where the GDD portal is going to be hosted and how is that going to be accessed.
Thank you for the information, or thank you for the question. For all of those who have received activated contracts, you should have received a welcoming email that will provide a URL, which is gddportal.icann.org. And then from there, if you already have credentials, then you can use your previous credentials from the new GTLD portal. So essentially, we're using our Salesforce platform, but there will be two distinct portals. Again, the new GTLD remaining the same, and then this GDD portal being the gddportal.icann.org. Thank you.
Hello. Hi, this is Robert from Packet Clearinghouse. It might be obvious to you when you say global domain, but is this non-CCNSO type domain name? So what is it? Or CCTLD and IDN CCTLD types?
You're right. In one shot, it is non-CCTLD type of registries.
Okay, we have a question from the chat pod from Rubens Kuhl, the new GTLD applicant group vice chair. Why RCEPs are getting displayed or delayed responses far surpassing the 15 days established in RCEP in consensus policy?
Right. Okay, hi Rubina. So RCEP defines a 15 days review period, but sometimes the RCEP request that gets sent to ICANN may not be either complete or some of the information is not clear, and ICANN do get back to the requester for more information or for more clarity. So in that sense, it actually sort of like increased the 15 days review, so to speak, because we do actually have to go back to the registry operator for additional information. So sometimes in that sense, the 15 days review period has actually been sort of like extended because of the back and forth kind of communication between ICANN and the registry operators.
Specific request pass completion review agenda.
So we have a follow-up statement for Move In School. Specified requests passed completeness reviews and generated no additional information requests.
Okay. So, Rubana, what I suggest is maybe you can drop me an email or if you can give me your case ID, I will check out on your case and I'll let you know what's the status.
We have no further questions in the chat pod.
Yes. Okay, sorry. I'm Adewa Brill from CORE. I have a question about what won't be in this global domains portal. That is, what sort of communications will receive via email or still the Salesforce or whatever. For instance, you know that Ayana traditionally sends the annual request directly from their email to the email contacts. Will this also be in this new portal or will it be kept separate?
Thank you, Amadeo. So we've launched the GDD portal, which is the first phase of providing registry services or at least some of the activities that can be conducted through there. If you're familiar with the new GTLD portal, they do provide case management opportunities. So you have the ability to facilitate or provide inquiries through the portal, and we're able to review those questions and provide direct responses. As of right now, like Han Chuan mentioned, we have the registry contact information, the technical data collection, which is also known as the OMBIR. We have the registry public information as well as the TLD startup information. We're hoping to expand those to provide other functionalities, but I think at this point in time, we're looking to get feedback from the community to see how we can better enhance the tool, as well as determining what would be the next wave of development activities that should be suited for the GDD portal, such as Arrows, RCEP, CZDS, and et cetera. Thank you. Also, for those who'd like to become a little bit more familiar with the GDD portal, we do have a demo booth located in the corridor where very close to the registration booth. So if you have any questions, I'll be there as well as my counterpart, Steve Allison, to answer any questions that you may have about the portal and anything else from that perspective. Thank you.
Right. We'll take one last question before we move on to the next presentation. Thanks.
Yeah, I'm asking whether ICANN has a plan to better the delegation onboarding process. Because right now, to different TLD, the onboarding process is not really streamlined, because different TLD get different questions, and some of them got tens of questions on the contact information request. And so I would like to ask that.
Hi, Sophia. If you'd like, I'd be more than happy to talk to you after the meeting so I can understand the specific questions. The way that the portal is set up is each of the work items, so we'll take the registry contact information as an example, will outline 21 sets of questions or 21 sets of contact information. Mm-hmm. The requirements that are set from that may have changed over the time as we've improved some of our processes. So it would be a little bit difficult for me to be able to understand what those specific questions are, but I'll be more than happy to answer them offline, unless if you have a specific question or a particular example that I might be able to address.
Yeah, I can after the meeting. Yeah, thank you.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you.
All right, thank you, everybody. I'd like to invite you to tomorrow. That's the TLD launch process experience and registry onboarding session at 5 p.m. tomorrow at the Collier Room. So some of the onboarding questions could also be addressed during that session as well. All right, with that, I'll hand over to Mr. Francisco, who will talk to us about the registry technical services. Thank you.
Hello, everyone. This is Francisco Arias. I'm the Director of Technical Services under the DNS Industry Engagement Team. Technical Services is a new area created last November. We are a sibling area to the Registry and the Registrar Services teams. Let me see. So we, as a new team, we have currently, we are two only, and we are looking to expand the team to be able to cover all the needs and cover all the functions that we have to cover in this area. What is that we do here in technical services? We focus on the services that are more technical in nature, for example, the SLA monitoring system or special projects that are also technical in nature, for example, name collision or TLD, universal acceptance. We are also provide support to other areas within ICANN in regards to expertise in the DNS technical areas, for example, to compliance or registrar's teams, or anyone else that may need this inside ICANN. We also engage with the technical community, for example, ITF and operators groups, trying to understand and keep up with what is happening in the technical community, so we can try to keep have a bridge between the ICANN and these technical communities. These are the kind of things we are doing right now. Like I said, name collision is one of the big things that we are working on. TLD universal acceptance, which you may be hearing more during this ICANN meeting. We are restarting this work, and we have a session tomorrow, Monday, to talk more about this. It would be great if you could provide some input to this process. We're looking to get input from the community on what to do in regards to TLD universal acceptance. There are other projects right there in the list that are very technical in nature, related to registries and registrars services. I don't think I need to go into detail into each of the things that we do, but this is just to give you an idea of the kind of things we do in the team. It's really a very short presentation. I'm not sure what else to say. I guess my colleagues here in the registry team and my colleagues in the registry team are really the points of contact to the community, to the contracted parties, and we in that sense will provide support when it's needed in technical issues. If there are any questions, I will be happy to answer. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Francisco. We'll now move on to the next segment, which is the registrar panel discussion. I would like to invite the moderator, Mr. Chao Qing, and the panelists onto the table. Thank you. Slides for the fourth one. One, yeah, that's right.
Thank you, Han Chuan. And this is Qing Qiao. I'm from from the registry side. I'm also the representative to the GNSO Council. I'm helping to run the session under my own personal capacity. And since this is it happens to be in the APAC region, so I'm so Han Chuan and the Asia Pac team, actually it's very good that they initiate this session. So we do hope that the similar session will be running like this in this format. I actually prefer it in a more focused group of kind of style, in a round shape seating, so everybody can talk to each other. It's not just us to the ICANN team, but the registrars talking to registries and vice versa. So I'm hoping that in the next potentially 1 hour or 90 minutes, we can have a more, interactive dialogue here. This meeting room reminds a lot of us here 3 years ago, exactly the same room that we are talking, we are fighting with the government, with the ICANN management about really to launch the ICANN new GTO, the program. So I'm glad that we're back here, not just copy past the the meeting agenda, but adding something like this, the operational experiences sharing in this time of the 49th ICANN meeting. So I'm going to make very little introductory remark, and I'm going to stop now. And I'd like to introduce my fellow panelists. From the registrar side, we have Valerie Low, and she's from the IP Miro, and we would have her to talk about the registrar experience so far in terms of interacting and signing up, and also help channeling the new GTOD products. And by that, I would like to focus again. This is pretty much an operational experiences sharing session. So if you have policy questions, we will leave it to other venues, but this is mainly for the operational experience sharing. So thank you, Valerie, for consenting to be here. We also from the registry side, we have Lester Kum from the registry side, and he will be sharing his experiences on the TOD launches. And we also have the one and only Amadeo, who's here, right? Lots of IDN and other TOD launch experiences that they can share. So what we will do is that each panelist, they would talk about their own experiences for, let's say, 5 to 10 minutes. And then we will open up. Then we will open up the floor for the discussion for particular in order. First of all, is the registrar, and also later the registry. The same. We'll have a 5 to 10 minutes experience sharing by Lester and actually Amadeo, and then we open up the floor for discussion. And by the way, we have. And Daniel Zhang from ZNet, they're still in the process of implementing the requirement from the 2013 RIA, if I understand correctly. And then I hope you can also share some of your experiences from the Chinese point of view. So with that, I'm going to pass to Valerie, please.
Hi, good morning, everyone. I'm Valerie from IP Mirror. So I'm actually from the registry liaison team. So before the new GTLD started, we are already launching the last GTLD we handled before the new GTLD program was the .XXX. And then we are also involved in a lot of communication with the other CCTLDs launches. So just to give you an idea, so IP Mirror have been launching new GTLDs since last year. So I counted this morning, the number of new GTLDs that we have is about 120. So these new GTLDs include TLDs from Donuts, Right Side Registries, even the IDN, some from Core, and 在线中文网. So in fact, we try to offer as many new GTLD as possible because our customers are actually located worldwide. So it's important that we give them this convenience of a one-stop shop service. So I hope this session doesn't become a complaint session, okay? Because we do face a lot of problems during the launches, especially now within such a short period of time, we are launching 120 new GTLDs. So I will actually start my sharing by splitting up the experiences that we have based on the pre-launch, the actual sunrise, land rush, and even the first come, first serve phases. So the most challenging part definitely will be the pre-launch, because the pre-launch actually involves getting the registrar agreement signed, getting the necessary information that we need in order to do marketing, preparation for the launches on our web panel. So unlike in the past, we have a lot of time to get ready for any launches. But this time around, we actually have a few experiences with some registry where the Sunrise phase has already launched, but they are not ready with the RRA. So in fact, for one, without naming, we had to wait about 2 weeks after the Sunrise launch before we get the RRA. So even though it's an end Sunrise period, but because our customers are so well informed, they already know that Sunrise has started, we are being bombarded with a lot of emails asking when it's going to be started, can we submit now, so on and so forth. So if the RRA is late, we actually have to push everything backwards, including the getting the technical implementation ready, the OTE testing, whatsoever. So this is one area which we are facing. The other one was information provided by the registries are actually incomplete. Because everyone is working in different time zone, actually. So it's very important that we have a start and end time of each phase, as well as the closing, and as well as the time zone. So, because, in fact, this is one of the frequently asked questions we get from the customers. Oh, so when is Sunrise starting? When is it ending? What time? So it's important that we get this information conveyed to the customers in our marketing announcements. And you'll be surprised how the registries are not prepared to provide us with this information. So we have to keep delaying. Our customers say, oh, hang on, you see. And we don't want to keep changing our website with the dates and the time because it's really causing inconvenience to the customer, which means they have to keep coming back to us to check when is it starting, when is it ending. And if we bombard them with a lot of news flash on this, they will actually consider it as spam and they stop reading altogether our news flash. So the other issue that we face is that information are all over the place. During each launch, you'll see that my table are all filled with documents because I have to open up everything in order to get the information that I need for each launch, which is horrendous, especially when you have to deal with so many new GTLD launches at one time. And for example, information missing will be questions like, are domains on the collision list available for application during Sunrise, Land Rush? And these are not readily available information. It's only when we prompt, then the registry will come back to us and say, oh, okay, yes, I know. And we have to prompt further. So how much is it? Oh, then we get another answer. So you see there's a lot of back and forth email communication, which is eating up a lot of resources as well. And during some of the launches, especially for registries who actually have a lot of TLDs, before the launch itself, they actually have a registrar portal. But I realize some of the registry doesn't really take into consideration that they actually expect registrars to keep logging into the registrar portal to get updated information instead of sending email to us, which we thought would be more convenient for our reference. So we have to keep logging into the registrar panel. So we have to keep reminding ourselves, oh, every day we have to check, because it seems that there are always changes which are not communicated to us properly. And it's quite embarrassing in the sense that if we don't get the updated information, our customers are the ones who get the information first. It's a bit difficult to explain because as a registrar, we're expected to know all the information at the back of our hands. So And premium pricing, I think a lot of registries have premium domain names. And we also realize that the prices of these premium domain names vary so much. We have one TLD which have 30 tier of different pricing for premium domain names. And it's creating some operational issue, because for IP Mirror, as far as we are concerned, we want to give customer a good experience, as in when they log into our portal, the moment they do a check domain, they will be able to tell upfront whether this is a premium domain name or not, and how much does it cost. So can you imagine, I mean, at the front end, what the customer see is, oh, so nice and neat, everything just go through, I'm paying the right pricing. But back end, it's a very messy kitchen, you see. So we are rushing to put in all these different pricing, and it's really eating up a lot of our resources, even for the pricing itself, setting up the pricing policy itself. So the other one would be IDNs. We realize that even though registries are launching IDNs, especially those who are supporting IDNs registration, they tend not to give very complete information. We are not told what language is being supported. So we have to keep chasing for these languages. Sometimes they will come back to us and say, oh, it's in Latin language, but Latin language actually cover a lot of many other languages. And then if it's Chinese, is it Chinese simplified or Chinese traditional or both? So these are the important information that we need to know, especially customers. Our customers, we do have a pool of customers who are actually interested in IDN's registration. So these are some of the information that we have to keep chasing the registry for it. So the other one will be the back-end service provider. We realize that even after the launch is announced, not every back-end service provider is ready. We do have a few cases whereby there is no web panel. Gosh. So what? We have to automate amidst all these new GTLD launches. It's almost impossible, because registrars cannot be expected to automate all the TLDs that we are offering. And if we don't have a web panel, it's really a drain on our resources, having to rush through the automation just to make sure that it's ready before the launch start. And recently, we have experiences whereby even during the start of the first-come, first-served basis, we realized that there's some problem with the EPP connection. We cannot even connect. It's not our problem. The problem lies with the registry, the back-end service provider. So in such cases, the web panel actually comes in helpful, because if we cannot connect, we can at least submit through the web panel. So this is the reason why web panel access is very important for the registrars. And when it comes to Sunrise, LandRush, and the first-come, first-served basis, basically, we don't experience a lot of problems on that, because we have already done our homework way before the launches of the way before the start of this launches itself. It's just that during, for example, like the only major issue we face is that those domains which are supposed to be blocked or reserved are not blocked, and those domains which are supposed to be made available for registration are not made available for registration. So we have to keep chasing the registry. Oh, why? Why is it so? I think some of you have read the news that there are some domains which are not supposed to be made available, were made available, and in the end, the registry will have to delete the domain names. So as a registry, probably you won't feel that much impact. It's just an explanation of, oh, sorry, we made a mistake in the back end. But as a registrar, we are the people facing the customers. So we actually have to do a lot of explanation, and the customer will keep coming back to us, oh, why is this happening? Shouldn't all precautions have been taken, have been put in place, so on and so forth. So we, as registrars, we're actually on the front line, so we have to deal with all these kind of different questions from the customers itself. So I hope I've not missed anything out. So one more thing. We realized that there are some registries who actually charges a higher renewal fee for domains registered either during the Sunrise or the Land Rush. So in this case, it actually adds to the complication in terms of operational-wise, because in our system, we must be able to identify that this domain is a domain registered under the Sunrise or Land Rush, And when general launch starts, we have to make sure that the customer pay the correct pricing. This may not be a real issue internally, but when it comes to transfer of domain between registrar, we must be able to identify that this domain, which comes from registrar A, is a domain registered during Sunrise on LandRush. So when it comes to IP mirror, we have to make sure that we bill them correctly for the renewal fee, be it to avoid undercharging or overcharging. So these are the issues that we face, which we thought we ought to highlight because we realize that the registry doesn't really understand the problems that we are facing at the registrar level. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you very much, Valerie, for the very insightful experience sharing. So right now, the floor is open. Please queue up, and we also have the chat pod. So once again, this is supposed to be a very interactive dialogue. So you can share your own experiences as well, and also or ask questions. We will have the floor first, and then we'll move to the chat pod. So please say your name and your affiliation.
Is it on? Is it not on? Okay. Okay. I'll speak louder. Oh, that's better. Okay. John McCabe, Husu Registry, Hong Kong. I was interested when you mentioned that you weren't sure whether the Chinese language was simplified or was traditional Chinese. And so my question for you is, can one offer just traditional Chinese or just simplified Chinese? Because my understanding is that the way they're handled is that there is a cancellation between them or there's a rationalization between them. And because we're dealing with personal names, domains based on personal names, obviously if somebody is Mr. Liang from mainland China and it's simplified and Mr. Liang is from Hong Kong or Taiwan and it's traditional, there is no reason that they couldn't be different domain names. So my question is, you raised the issue. Is it simplified? Is it traditional? Many people are treating them as like a cancellation. If you register Liang in simplified, you can't register Liang in traditional. But is that, am I wrong there or am I right there? Can we treat traditional as one language and simplified as another specifically for personal names? For the 100 names, okay, in Chinese.
Okay, so this... If the registry communicates to us that they are only supporting Chinese simplified or even Chinese traditional, the same message will be conveyed to the customer. But as far as we are concerned, there are some registry who practice this. If you register the domain name in simplified version, the traditional Chinese will automatically be reserved. Okay? Yes. So all along, we had the understanding that regardless of which language the customer register, anyway, it doesn't really make a difference. Until recently, we found out that one of the registry actually told us that, oh, we can only accept domain names in Chinese simplified version. So we have to dig further then. Does it mean that if the customer attempt to do a registration in Chinese traditional characters, will registry system actually reject it or will it still accept?
I'm lost. I'm sorry.
Okay, so let's say if the registry only support one language, which is the Chinese simplified. Okay.
Anyway, so you have to unbundle.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So it goes back to the policy itself. So if you say that you're offering Chinese registration in Chinese simplified, what about the Chinese traditional? Will it be reserved or it will still be made available for registration? That will be our first question.
Right. Just let me try to help a little bit here.
Yes. So that is, but the question is, that is an option to have them reserved separately.
No. Oh. No at this moment, but yes, maybe in the future. Right now, the simple answer is no. But yes, the bundle is available only for the country codes, the IDN.CN and the IDN.TW and other.
The bundle is available only for the country.
For the country
like
code.
.tw.cn.
Right.
Right. Okay.
But for the GTOD, the policy is not ready yet. So right now you've seen some of the IDN simplified Chinese or the IDN traditional Chinese is only now available for one particular script. And potentially they could be added.
So you're saying it's only available for simplified?
Right.
Okay, because I actually have a .who's who. And we're working with Neustar, who does .tn and .cn, and we are told it is bundled. And we're getting pushback on unbundling. So the question is, what is the reality? Because I don't want to get ready to launch in China, and I'm all of a sudden I can't launch in traditional, or I can't launch in simplified. So, and I don't necessarily want to have cut in half the number, because, I mean, is it, does it rationalize? Does it, if I have a Chinese name in my domain, let's say it's a Chinese name in traditional Chinese,
right,
and somebody types in that name in simplified, right, does it come to me? Does the message come to me?
So, John, I'll have to take this offline, and it is an IDN variant.
We'll talk.
Issue. We'll definitely have to talk on the sideline.
I understand.
Actually, Han Chuan is also
talked in Buenos Aires.
Right. So we'll have to take this offline.
Thank you.
Thank you, John, for bringing it up. Thank you.
Hi, Alex again from NameRich. Thanks, Valerie. I think that question and exchange was an example of how that could turn into about 100 different emails on just that one particular topic,
yes,
and that's just one extension, one TLD. So with all the information about some of the challenges that you're facing as kind of the front-facing kind of front lines, I was wondering if you had any comments in terms of best practices or things that you've seen that have worked well, that have helped you to be able to launch and onboard an extension rather effortlessly or with less effort than some of the other ones. And now that you've kind of been through this process, and I think maybe by the fault of maybe a lot of the registries themselves, they figured out, let's just get them going and then we'll figure it out as we go, and we'll actually put a lot of that heavy lifting,
yes,
on the actual registrar, right? So the times have changed. It's flipped. It's become more of a supermarket at this point, where registries are now vying for shelf space and to get, you know, more front page or more exposure. So are there best practices that you as a registrar can set forth to the registries that are coming to you that want to onboard, that you can say, okay, if you want to be with us, then you need to have this type of you basically need to have all this in order before you even come to us, or we're not interested in speaking with you. So I'm interested if you have any, going through your kind of battles in the initial onboarding stages, if you've come up with any ideas or strategies for how to make it a better process. And I think at this point, it'll also be beneficial for ICANN and the technical team in the Global Domains Department to think about how they can maybe develop technology or a platform to help streamline some of that.
So, in fact, because of our experiences with the different registries, internally, we have come up with our own checklist of the list of standard questions that we need to ask the registry in the event that we can't find this information in their registrar manual or documentation. But I thought some of the things which will definitely help the registrars will be very simple things like the launch phases, the time and the time zone. That is pretty important to us. And then with this thing about the collision list, at least let us know whether these domains, the domains on the ICANN collision list, whether are they available for registration or not, and at what price are this actually we have to pay in order to apply for these domain names. And because there are some registries who actually set also called categorized domains on collision list as premium. So this is the reason why we even have to go back to the registry to check. Oh, so if you say domains is on the collision list, how much is it? How much do we have to pay? Because these are things that we have to communicate with the registrant itself. And if you really want to have a so-called best practices, I think we do understand that registries operate differently based on their policies. But I think certain things can be streamlined in such a way that I don't know who can help. I can, or I mean, even the audience here, that there is a certain, I mean, if you want a checklist, I can give you my checklist. What are the information that you need? So at least I can could probably actually request for the registry to do to indicate some basic information in their manual or even in the RRA itself. Yeah, that will be very helpful.
Thank you, Valerie. And do we have anything from the chat pod at this moment? Okay. Any questions or any thoughts to share at this moment? It's okay then. In that case, we will move on to the registry part. So I'll pass the mic to Lester first, perhaps.
Thank you. Hello. Thank you, Ching. Good morning, everyone. My name is Lester. Just probably a quick intro on myself before I move on to sharing some of the registry-related experience that I have had with new GTLD applications over the the past year or so. I've been in the domain industry for quite a while now, and I'm lucky to have the opportunity to work on both the registrar and on the registry side of the business. So I've seen a lot of kind of like scenarios like what Valerie has previously mentioned as well, and we had our fair share of issues on the registry operation sites as well. So I just think that maybe better engagement and collaboration like what ICANN is trying to fight for would hopefully lead on to a much better platform where we can actually resolve these problems or issues that we have like in regards to information sharing and as well as better processes for us to actually probably interact with one another. So one of the biggest problem that I face when I was actually doing helping my clients apply for new GTLDs is that the application itself is, I wouldn't say that it's easy, but it's a straightforward process where you fill in a set of questions, make sure that you comply with the policies that are in place, and then subsequently as long as I can, there are no issues with your processes that are in place, I can approve the application, and then we move on to onboarding. And of course, onboarding is also another issue that I'll probably have to feedback to the ICANN team because, it's a complicated process, right? And, over the past year or so, I've seen a couple of issues popping up here and there, hundreds of emails flying around, asking questions as to how do I do this properly? What is the better way to do this, stuff like that. And I probably am in the same dilemma that as Sophia, which she mentioned earlier as well. So it's the same issue over and over again. So hopefully, we get to resolve that as an issue as well as we move further in and get better processes from the ICANN engagement team itself. Okay. So the other side of the problem that a new GTLD applicant, I think, would face while setting up the business as a registry is that, a lot of them, when they come to me, they're either brand owners, trademark owners, or even people that want to start a business. So they have no idea, exactly what to do, what the processes are in place. So they plunge right into the business, and then when they get approved, a lot of them feel very lost because they don't have a proper framework in place. Policies are not defined properly in the pre-launch period when they're actually waiting, starting to engage, starting to market their extensions itself. So, having missed this particular step would mean that you will have a lot of issues when the launch actually finally take place. Things like missing information, policies that are not defined, like for example reserve names that Valerie has actually mentioned just now, and you forget to reserve names and stuff like that. So it's a very bad experience for registrars on the whole, and I think if you leave a bad taste in registrar, and then I think that would cause your TLD to be probably less successful than the others. So it's a problem. So generally, I would share a little bit of experience in terms of the consultancy process or other framework that I put up when I actually help an applicant prepare for their new GTLD itself. So, Ching has given me some guidelines to actually break up the discussion into five different areas: pre-launch planning, sunrise, land rush, general availability, as well as post-launch sort of feedback. So probably I just touch a bit on the pre-launch planning itself. So firstly, in the first phase of pre-launch planning, as I mentioned, obviously a setup of a efficient operations team in the registry itself would be very crucial because you need these people to actually handle the liaison teams from the registrar itself. And if you don't have efficient team to handle this, you will get like hundreds and thousands of emails bombarding you asking all sorts of questions. So Having said that, obviously the definition of the rules, procedures, policies, and guidelines to register a name in a TLD is also very important. So this process itself of defining the framework could easily take, I don't know, even a month or even longer. I mean, you know, Ask Ching, he has plenty of experience with .asia in the past when I see them, you know, struggling, trying to, you know, in the past when they're trying to actually get the TLD up and working. So it's hard work. But I really have to say that .asia is really one of the more successful TLDs around, with a very nicely defined framework, which are very clear, information flows properly. So that's a very good example. And I mean, I always tell my clients that, you know, this is something that we should do, and we should follow and make sure that things are defined properly. And of course, the next steps that you have would be connectivity of your systems to various providers like Trademark Clearinghouse, the data escrow provider, any CAS providers, to make sure that your services are up to scratch with according to ICANN requirements. So this is probably something that your technical team will have to take care of and ensure that, you know, you're in compliance. And I see a lot of TLD applicants actually trying to, you know, struggle with various services that service providers that I've mentioned. So this is another point that probably we need to take note of. And last but not least, of course, in the pre-launch phase, you need to take care of engagement with registrars and things like, why should registrars sell your TLD? I mean, what is the unique selling proposition that you have for them? With a launch of, like what Valerie mentioned, 100 to 200 TLDs, why should I, as a registrar, I mean, I have bargaining power right now, right? So why should I sell your TLD? You know, tell me why. I mean, is it because it's cheaper? Does it have certain propositions that I have missed out on? So, I mean, if you can define this properly, reach out to maybe your audience or even the registrars with a proper proposition, and then probably it will make it slightly more attractive than the others. And of course, in this particular phase, which is a very huge phase that you need to sustain even after you have reached the general availability phase, is that there are two things that I usually ask my clients to look out for. That is, you need to prepare a proper marketing campaign and, of course, a PR program. So marketing campaign is where you engage your registrars as to how they can actually help you sell better. It can come in terms of outreach and channel reward programs, as we have seen in many of the CCTLDs. Things like broad-based programs, growth-based programs, or even time-bound programs, which I'll touch a little bit more about this particular three areas when I reach the general availability area of it. And of course, you need to raise awareness of your TLD as well. So there's a lot of engagement that you need to do with basically the media, have a press press desk, send out a lot of press releases, and obviously speaking opportunities to market your TLD itself. So these are some areas which I encourage TLD applicants to do to reach out to the general market as a whole. Yep, so that pretty much you know, sums up the pre-launch planning phase, which I think is really, really important. I think this is the most important phase of setting up the registry as a whole. I mean, it might seem easy to say, but it could easily take months of work and, you know, sleepless nights to actually get this done and put in place properly. Okay, so next I move to probably the sunrise phase. So I've been asked, I mean, many times over, is that is 30 days too long a period for sunrise? And is it should we shorten it? Should we lengthen it? Because, you know, now you have the trademarks claim process, which obviously still runs after the sunrise itself, up to 90 days. I would think that if you ask me, I think 30 days is just nice a period, not too long, not too short, just nice enough for people to actually, you know, understand and finally decide whether they want to register in this particular phase or not. And of course, I will encourage applicants for TLDs, I mean, new GTLDs, to break up Sunrise into various phases, which we ourselves, when we submitted the application for .vip itself, we also break it up into many various phases. I mean, whatever phase you break it up to, it's really up to you, depending on your policies. But in general, we chose to break it up into a government phase, where you allow governments from all around the world to actually register names in this particular phase itself. And of course, the next phase, we move on to trademark and brand owners, where we engage the IP community to actually register in this particular phase as well. And last but not least, we also take care of probably companies that want to register company names but do not have a trademark itself to actually ensure that they get their own name in this particular Sunrise phase itself. And of course, if you have contention, I would say that we could potentially, you know, move off to a sort of like an English auction model where the highest bidder wins, which is practiced by a lot of CCTLDs in the past. And it's a fairly accepted method for contention to actually be resolved. Okay, so after Sunrise, naturally comes Land Rush. So I've not much comments in this particular phase. I would say that probably first come, first serve would be something that most registry could potentially consider. I mean, it's generally accepted, been done to death in the last few years in regards to launches as well. So unless there's any particular reason that you want to vary your land rush, I do not think that there's a reason to do so, and it just causes a lot more burden on the registrar, which are used to the normal processes that have already been put in place for the past maybe 5 to 6 years in that case. Okay, last but not least, I moved to a general availability phase where I probably will touch a little bit about the different channel reward programs that I think a registry could potentially use to engage their registrars and, of course, the general public. The first thing that we thought of is that for some of my clients is that we have this program called Special Introductory Discount, which we call SID, to actually engage specific geographic groups or even community that are related to your TLD itself. So, for example, I mean, if you have like a dot property or something, then maybe you could do a, you know, a special introductory discount for this group of people, because probably they may want to register hundreds or even thousands of names in this particular TLD itself. So giving them that bit of, you know, advantage there to do this, it may result in much more returns for you in the long run. And then, of course, we see things like bundled discounts as well, where it's been done to death by some registries, things like buy one, get one free, buy two, get three free, you know, stuff like that. So this is something that you, these are things that probably GTLD applicants can consider as well. And you have contract year discounts, which GTLDs also do as well. Buy more for less. Buy more years, register three for less. And last but not least, we have volume discounts. Probably give a bit of incentive for registrars that have a lot of names, you know, to be registered in that means if they have more names, basically they get charged lesser. So again, been done to death. Last but not least, this poll launch planning, I have to finish up very quickly because Ching has showed me the time sign already. So I just end this session. I mean this part with poll launch planning, and of course at the end of the day, when you're done with generability and the launch, obviously last but not least, you need to sustain your marketing and promotion efforts, and of course identify growth trends. As you can see, a lot of CCTLD are trying to identify which areas you know, which communities are particularly attracted to the TLD, and then from there you could probably expand you know, your business in that particular area. So with that, thank you for listening. And I'll pass on to Amadeo for the next part of it.
Okay, thanks a lot. And thanks, Valerie, to Lester to say many of the things I wanted to say. One thing I need to say is that I come here with one hat and a half. As a matter of fact, CORE is a registry, but many of you know that CORE was one of the five original ICANN registrars, and we are still a registrar, not Core itself, but a subsidiary called CoreHub, because we have these vertical separation rules that we decide and also ICANN imposed, so we are in agreement this time. So even if I'm not in the operations of the registrar, just collected many of the facts that we are getting there. And the most important one is that the world is very different, but not all of us are realizing that. And I think that the registries are realizing that the world is different, much less than registrars that have no choice than realizing that. Even an example, when I was the CEO of .cat during the launch of, it was 2006, and I remember that two registrars, too, came to me saying, oh, you know, that date in the Sunrise is in the same week as something that .eu is doing in Landrush. So can we move that? Because two things in the same week is too complex. So we did that. So first was .eu, then .cat. When .cat was finished, .asia came. It was an easy live where, you know, you had one TLD to handle at a time. And now it's something like one TLD to handle at a second, which is a very different order of magnitude. But still, we registries tend to have ideas of how the world should be and tend to impose these ideas to everybody. And hence, for instance, you know, people like Lester and me may disagree about what the perfect LANrush is. We believe in Core that LANrush should be end date, that is, time irrelevant, not first come, first save, because in the past we've seen as registrars that first come, first save for the zero moment of the LANrush means which registrar is more lucky. It has nothing to do with the registrant being more diligent in applying for the domain name in cases of unnecessary tension, especially when you have so many to handle in a week. And 1 minute may make too much difference for the registrar, not just for the registrar. Therefore, we decided that it's end date, but others is first come, first serve. We run LANrush in parallel to Sunrise and other limited registration periods. Many others do that sequentially. The result is that, frankly, nobody knows. I mean, if I had to pass an exam now on the launches of the TLDs for the last 2 months, I would miserably fail. And I think that everybody in this room, perhaps except Valerie, would miserably fail about, you know, the dates and the idiosyncrasies of each one. Now, one thing we all could do is improve the information. It's very good that we have very good documentation, each one providing that. But both ICANN pages and Tremor Clearinghouse pages are not very informative. For to start with, they just take care about Sunrise, but not about other limited registration periods that many, if not all, but some TLDs may have. And then we have this very confusing information in which claim services are only noted for post-Sunrise. And you cannot even know that during Sunrise you have other phases where claims will be also needed. So you add to the confusion your own poor registrars that don't understand. Yes, they have the documentation, but they have hundreds of thousands of pages of documentation from all those TLDs. So I think that in this regard, we could all improve, and we need to agree as registrars and with ICANN, whoever, to have a sort of better channel for information. If I can say something to ICANN, for instance, not probably the most practical information way of gathering the information for the startup period is not a Word or PDF file. It could be a form that you can edit and output, and also for us registries, having the information of which registrars have passed the TMDB test and therefore can access Sunrise, LANrush in the first 90 days. You know, the best way is not a PDF that's not searchable, that we need to read each time and guess, you know, the company name and doing business name and, you know, how to feed that with the email we receive it saying we want to offer your TLD and we have already passed the TMCH test, so please allow us. So these small things could be probably improved and will be improved in the long term. Now, regarding also what we are doing as registries, and I say we, not particularly Core, but as a group, I think that there is too much obsession about A, all days, and B, talking to your lawyers. I mean, why on hell you need an NDA to discuss, you know, how to access OT&E? Why the technical documentation and access to OT&E is subject to any requirement? ICANN registrars. No matter what they have already signed in 2013 RIA, passed, they are registrars, so you should allow them into the OT&E, and we should not allow them into production until they have all the requirements, granted. But why making life a miserable, exchanging faxes with unreadable NDAs where there is no information, in fact. There is just the legalese of, you know, pretending you are being serious and diligent when there is nothing to be covered as confidential. And you need to do that for each TLD, even if, you know, it's exactly the same technical information, which is even more ridiculous. So we have all these kind of things that really could and should be improved. Now, on our side, we also have the other problem that the first TLDs, I mean, the only TLDs that Core has applied as Core are IDNs in Cyrillic characters and Arabic characters. And, you know, most of our registrars for the first two that were Cyrillic characters, that is Russian, Bulgarian, Ukrainian, Belarusian, most of the registrars had no personnel that was able to handle, you know, to read that alphabet, which makes things more difficult. Even when we try to explain things, when you come to not seeing what you write, the level of errors, unintended errors, is really higher. So as you're writing all these phases in parallel, we wanted also to help the registrars by saying, well, you know, you make a mistake and you send something to the wrong phase. It's not local trademarks. It's transliteration of Latin trademarks, whatever, these strange phases we have. We will solve that for you. The problem is that then we discovered that the EPP Lounge extension draft doesn't allow for this kind of thing. So mandate has to be quite strict on the requisites for each phase. And therefore, we cannot play and just, you know, oh, you made a mistake. Don't worry. We don't reject. We bring that to the correct phase. So we have created a little bit of workflow of, in my view, it's unnecessary because we have this problem also that most technicians tend to believe that wall is perfect and simple, and everybody knows perfectly the rules, which is, in truth, absolutely incorrect. So we have a system, not only our system, but, you know, a system in the EPP extension for launch that's a little bit too rigid to handle, you know, understandable human mistakes, especially when you're handling languages you don't understand or xn dash dash, impossible things to handle, right? Now, one thing that most registrars, I mean, I think that the first two things that we are asked about a registrar, about a TLD, the first one indeed is, what's that for? So let's say, well, you know, what's the preposition for that? I mean, what's that intended for? But the second and third is, what are the dates and what's the price? Well, the price is totally up to us. For the dates, especially now for the first TLDs, it's been a challenge because it doesn't depend only on us. It also depends on whether ICANN will approve this or that or not. And in this regard, I mean, we as Core apologize to our heroes, which are a couple dozen registrars that were able to be in our first sunrise because, I repeat, they were really heroes because we were, you know, knowing things as we were going, we were telling all the technical information, but some of the important things like, well, you know, this will be possible or not, we only knew in the very last minute, which is something that we shouldn't do. But, you know, this is the, you know, probably it won't happen 8 months from now, but it's still happening. One thing we haven't done as Core and that we know that we have to do is have better frequently asked questions lists. I mean, we have all the technical documentation, but still the old assumption is here you have a clear explanation, you will read it, you will understand it, and it's so clear that, you know, that will be it. And then what happens? Well, the hundreds of emails we were mentioning, right? And most of these emails were, I mean, some of the emails were, how would say that? People that were a little bit too lazy to read some documentation or, you know, to check some basic things. Most of them were very logical questions that, you know, only came when a registrar encountered a specific difficulty. And we think that we need to add to the list for pre-launch that Lester mentioned, you know, trying to foresee a predetermined, clear, not just in technical language, but question answers language list of the most frequently questions you get from registrars regarding the TLDs. And finally, something, well, I promised myself not to say anything about trademark clearinghouse claim services and especially sunrises for IDNs. Right? So I won't. I will just smile, and you will understand what I think about what happened there. Now, what I wanted to say is also to end up something for ICANN. As a registry, and also as our subsidiary registrar, is a little bit frustrating to see that there are lots of rules, a lot of hurdles, a lot of things you need to ask permission for, and then there is a huge degree of impunity of what registries are doing, you know, under the table. you find suddenly that before you are offered an array, the land rush has started and it's first come first serve. You learn that, you know, some registries put absolutely impossible conditions that only its own registrar, its subsidiary registrar, will be able to abide with. So there will be nobody else being able to offer that, etc., etc., etc. And we have the impression that nothing happens at the compliance level. So it's a little bit frustrating on one side, trying to do the things by the rules, and the other side seeing that people that are doing lots of strange things, and many of them are, you know, out there in the specialized blogs explaining things that are quite strange regarding equal access for registrars, regarding, you know, when the period should start and with which guarantees, etc., etc. Nothing seems to happen. And I repeat, this is a little bit frustrating for the general morale of the community. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Amadeo. And so you just confess that when we see your smile, then that something might not be right. But anyway, thanks very much for sharing thanks to Lester and Amadeo. So we have about 10 minutes for QA and also for interaction. And anyone would like to come up to the mic and have questions? So the registries are a bit shy, or the registrars are already frustrated, so no questions for the registries.
Sorry, you're ruling out the third possibility, is that Lester and me were...
By the way, I have a question. We realize that during each launch, there's always very short time for the registrars to react. For example, the sunrise date is scheduled in such a way that it's like 1 month or even like 5 days. There's very short time. For example, if a TLD is going to be launched next week and it's only on Thursday or Friday that the registrars are being informed, and sometimes we have an even shorter period of turnaround time. Just like to get some knowledge here as to, is it because ICANN were very late in the approval of the dates, or is it because registry planned the time in such a way that, I understand the anxiety in getting it launched, but is it because the dates that is submitted to ICANN is, for example, very short or very near, and that even ICANN has no time or to do it early for the approval?
I'm not sure whether we have the right ICANN representative here, but Anne, would you like to...
I'll go ahead and take a stab at answering that question. So I think it actually varies across the board. Based on some of the data that I've seen coming in, you know, we have quick, you know, turnaround times. There's additional questions that we have to do outreaches to, so that extends the amount of time of when we could actually have that published and reviewed and approved. So unfortunately, there is no real trend or distinction of the cause of it. I think it's on a per registry basis, or that particular TLD, and what the entity has in mind when they submit that to us. But if you have further questions or if you'd like to learn more about it, I'll be more than happy to take that back and get a more detailed response. Thank you.
Thanks, Anne. Thanks. John?
John McCabe, .whosu, New York, Monte Carlo, Hong Kong. Just want to say thank you all in ICANN. I think we all have to realize that after more than 20 years of bringing on 22 GTLDs, this is groundbreaking territory, and it's just insanity as far as the numbers go and in the amount of time it's taken to go from conception to today. And I think that everybody's dealing with just not having any precedence on which to organize. So to the ICANN team, thank you for all you're doing, and we know that you're very under a lot of pressure. And then if I may, if you'll excuse my back, to all of you, the registrars and the registries. I think, you know, I'm on the registry side, and I know how difficult we are. I mean, I'm asking questions today that should have been answered maybe long ago. But for the registrars, too, the answers are not always as quick in coming as we'd like. And so, you know, nobody's doing this against you, and nobody's doing it against us. It's just the way it is. So if everybody could be a little bit generous with each other, it would be helpful, because if we don't have answers for registrars, it's because we don't have answers from ICANN. And if, you know, it's not like anybody's out to put anybody else in a bad position. Everybody's just trying to get to the finish line so that we're offering domains and have registry agreements in place by the time Sunrise is 2 months behind us, you know, and that's because we're setting up dates and we have no idea what's between us and then. So on that note, thank you all again. Everybody's doing their best, and I think we have to keep that in mind. Thank you.
Thank you, John. Actually, one of the questions I have sent around in the panelists is that, in particular, how's everybody feels about the required 30 days of the Sunrise period? I know some of you touched very briefly on that. What about other people in this room are thinking, is 30 days enough, or 30 days, we just need more time, or we don't need 30 days, 10, 15 days? We just need some rough thoughts. Actually, Jacob, would you like to? Jacob, give it a try.
Sure. To your point, I think, I don't want to say 2 weeks is enough, but from a registry that's going to go into operation soon, we're seeing such a bottleneck with the TMCH. A lot of registries just want to get out of the way, which is why I think you're seeing people start right away with not even having a registrar agreement in place, which is a shame. And then I have a comment, if you don't mind. This is kind of regarding the TMCH as well. We are based, I'm Jacob Williams, I'm from a registrar and a registry applicant in Tokyo. And so this point kind of goes on with the mixed scripts issues with the TMCH registration. So it's not really a question for the panelists, just more of a comment. In Japanese, you know, we have katakana, hiragana, and kanji. And those scripts are so intermingled in language, in one sentence you'll use all of them in one sentence. A lot of trademark holders have trademark registrations that are in both scripts. So, and unfortunately right now they're not allowed to register those marks in the Trademark Clearinghouse. We've seen a lot of inconsistencies with the way it's handled in the Trademark Clearinghouse. For instance, some registrations will be marked as verified and valid, but you can't have a label, which makes no sense because you can have a Japanese domain name that has mixed scripts. So why can't we have a label? So I just want to urge ICANN to take care of this immediately. We're excluding a whole population of trademark registrants from monitoring and protecting their brands or using TLDs in marketing. So I think that's just, I just want to bring that up.
Thank you, Jacob. And for the purpose for this forum is that really to get the community to have inputs. So we have transcript, and I hope that the ICANN staff, you really to digest what's being discussed here. And then it's not just one-time DNS forum here. I'm hoping that we will keep this going. And then trying to incorporate thoughts, as actually Jacob just mentioned, one of the the suggestion here. Yes, next.
Okay. Thank you very much for the panelists and also Chin for coordination. And this is not a direct question for the.
So your name and affiliation.
Okay. I'm Matsushi Endo from JPRS. We are based in Tokyo and doing cctld.jp and also the ICANN accredited registrar and also the new GTAD applicant. This is not the direct question of the panelists, but the for the all who are in this room, that the new GTAD registry agreement requires a lot of new things, and in the agreement, for example, that for example, specification 11.3b that requires the conduct technical analysis of security threats and maintain statistical reports of security that, and they, I'd like to know that every new GTI applicant, especially the register backend providers, how to comply with these requirements and the technical side and also the operational side. My understanding is that this is the for the operational session, so that this is a suitable place to raise these. Why don't you share the experience and the one another thing is the data escrow. That's and then this weekend, Friday, that the fourth data escrow agent got the accreditation from the ICANN, and the second in Asia. So before that, the IAM Mountain and NCC was the only two, how to say, kind of dominant escrow agent. But the, for example, especially in Asia, there's a particular law or the regulation in each country who has a kind of a data thing. So that is there any specific situation in each applicants to comply with that kind of regulation and needs the data escrow agent in on its country? I'd like to know that sharing information of those kind of things. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Endo-san. So you have two questions. One is for specification 11.
Yes.
I'm not sure, Anne, you'd like to address that, or we just leave it as it is?
It may be a little difficult for me to address it directly or specifically, but what I can do or what I'd like to do is maybe take your questions off to the side to make sure that I could get the details of it correctly, and then I'll work with our technical services folks to make sure that whatever information that you need is available, and it's obviously not to you but to everyone as well. I was actually trying to look at Spec 11 as you were talking right now. But in terms of compliance and being compliant to it, part of the things that we've asked during the onboarding process, I think in Buenos Aires it was considered like 1B of the onboarding process, and it was focused on a lot of the technical aspects. In the initial process of collecting the information, I think there was a lot of description in a text form, and there's a lot of information of, you know, what do I need to provide, and et cetera. What we tried to do, again, with the GDD portal is create a work item which is synonymous to, like, a task, and the web form itself has a lot of the validations already in place so that whatever you submit to us has a little bit more rigor than what you would submit versus in a text file. And I think, I unfortunately wasn't quick enough to read 11, I think you said spec 11, 3B, to be very specific to see if what we're talking about is the same. But I encourage you, as we've launched this portal, we have these web forms. There are guidance documents, which provides very specific, that provides specific directions as to how to fill out each of those fields. And I hope that will provide some sort of information, but I'll definitely look into this. And then, Jacob, I also wanted to thank you for your feedback. I didn't have a chance to acknowledge that as well, so I just wanted to say thank you, and again to the panelists for providing information. I don't know if you've seen, but I was rigorously trying to write as much details as I can. And I encourage all of you guys, because it seems as though we may be able to end the meeting a little bit earlier than anticipated. I'm more than happy to hear what you have to say to take back the feedback, but I know I'm not exactly the most technical person, so it would be really helpful for you guys not to be shy and to bring these issues or concerns up, because we do care and we want to make things more efficient as well as easier, and the idea is to figure out how to do that, and I think the best way is to talk during these types of forums. So thank you, everyone.
Fantastic.
Thank you.
So for the second one, I think I've shared the concern with you
about the data escrow agency that is only. I mean, some of the registries are located in the jurisdiction which requires the data stayed in the boundary of that particular jurisdiction. I've came across a couple incidents that the registry applicants are bonded by actually local laws that they cannot sort of transfer. Away the data from their local jurisdiction. So, points well taken. So, we'll have
to
note it. Thank you.
I have a comment on that.
Sorry. Yes, please, Amadeo.
Just a comment on this escrow issue. You're completely correct. But no matter where the escrow agent is and the data is located during the normal operation of the registry, there are two things we cannot escape from. The first one is the escrow agreement between the escrow agent and the registry being subject to California law. The second one is the fact that the real goal of this escrow agreement is that in case that the registry disappears, the data can be handled by ICANN. So even if it's located in Europe or Japan, the data controller at that point will be ICANN in the United States. And there is no other escape on that than creating different ICANNs, which I think would be probably a little bit overshooting for this concrete problem. So, yes, we had this concern as Europeans, but at the end of the day, where the data is located in our jurisdiction is less relevant than has the control. So we need to deal with our data protection agencies with the fact that up front, no matter where the data is located, it could, if something happens, be handed over to ICANN, even if it doesn't move Europe, because even the Ibero or the new registry is still in Europe. The control would be in California, and we need to handle that.
Okay, thank you. Sophia.
I'm Sophia from KNET. I thank for Ching and all the panelists today, and it's very informative sections and also a very good communication forums for both registries and registrar. I have two questions concerning the upcoming registry operations, and one of the non-coalition issues, and this is cause a big problem right now for some of the brand TLDs that Akin is a backend operator. For some of the non-coalition list, for some brand TLDs, there are tens of hundreds of the block names are actually they want to use it for internal use, for example, like OA and emails. And this kind of names is blocked in the block list, and they cannot use it. And the brand TLD spends a lot of money on acquiring the TLD, but for this moment, they cannot use it. And this is really causing a lot of internal issues for them as well. So I want to ask ICANN whether there is a more clarifications on the non-coalition issues, also the timelines for resolving the problems. A second question would be regarding the CZDS management platform, because some of the brand TLD right now, they are launching their TLDs, and they receiving a lot of requests from the CZDNS managing platform, which is for registry to managing the response for the Zoom file visiting the request. And for the brand TLDs, most of them will want to denied or refused the Zoom file request due to the sensitivity of the information, also the business secrecy. So for the platform right now, it's not very user friendly, and also you need to managing the request one by one. This creates a lot of works and also eating out a lot of resources for the brand TLD registry. So the question is whether there is a better way of managing it, because for the brand TLD, this is really, for them, is not really making sense. So maybe there is a uniform approach for them to managing it. So thank you.
So I'm going to attempt to answer this one too. Let's see how I do. So the first one, unfortunately, for name collision, I'm not the right person to ask. I'm not the subject matter expert, and by all means, I don't want to provide any false answers. But I do know that we have a couple of sessions, and I'll be more than happy after the meeting if you want to go through to see where it would be more appropriate to ask that question and to get it answered. So let's definitely touch base after this. And then in terms of the CZDS platform, that's one of the items that we're looking into to seeing how we can better, I don't know if the right word is like configure, figuring out how to handle this more efficiently. I know that we're still in development in terms of our next phase of enhancing the GDD portal, which this may or may not be part of the next phase or some future phases outwards. But I would be interested to understand a little bit more about the pains. And again, that could be something where we can discuss off to the side, unless if it's something where everybody else would like to, you know, discuss further, then I'm open to that as well. But I'll be more than happy to understand what the issues are or the pain points, so that when, you know, we do start to revisit certain processes for efficiency, I'd like to be able to provide that information. But thank you.
Thanks, Anne. And I'm hearing actually quite clear is that the panelists and Sophia and many others has concern that how the blocking list on the given name collision list actually being generated. So, first of all, it's really to encourage that everyone to join the name collision panel actually tomorrow afternoon, right? There's one. And I think your point and some of the panelists also address how does that particular string on the list and how do we, communicate that, hey, that particular string shouldn't be on the list, that can be allocated for the registry or actually for
or
the right
particularly
use.
Names.
Right.
That, you know.
So there could be a mechanism. So I guess that's the purpose of that particular panel and leading the way that there could be a framework for the registry to discuss. But thanks for bringing up the question again. That's
actually
very
one more follow-up.
Yes,
based
sure.
on the schedule, it is on Monday at 1:30. The name collision meeting will be in the Collier. Collyer room, and I believe it's out on that side. So I'll be sure to inform my colleagues about your inquiry, but I would encourage you to ask again so that we can get it addressed by the right people. Thank you.
Thanks. And do we have anyone, sorry for making you multitasking, do we have anyone in the chat pod right now? Or
I do have one comment from Ruben Cools. His comment is, there is no use in refusing CZDS requests if the zone is signed with the NSEC. DNSSEC allows zone walking unless NSEC 3 is used.
It's okay. I think we're running kind of closer to the end of our session, but the last point here is the engagement, collaboration, communication between the registries and the registrar. Many of us here, you know that you've been participating in the past. There's in between interval registry and registrar gathering for a particular region. The ICANN team has been organizing that in the past, and at least from my own experiences, .asia has been finding that very helpful. And then I'm hoping that by doing this DNS forum, we'll be doing in this type of experience sharing at the ongoing basis. But what are your thoughts? What are your suggestions? Anything in this community, especially the contracted registries and registrar, what's your take and what would be your suggestion that how we can communicate better in terms of getting our policy suggestion to ICANN in terms of, end-to-end discussions on the registries and the registrar operational issues. Any suggestions? Or maybe the question is too big. Jenna, I'm sorry that, because I noticed that you're thinking, but or you're not thinking. But. Okay, Jenna. Thank you. Sorry to put you on the spot.
Yeah. Thank you. Hi, I'm Jenna from IP Mirror. Actually, I have a question for ICANN. When we speak about collaboration, both registries and registrars in the new GTLDs are governed by ICANN. So I refer to the problems that we are facing, which Valerie, my colleague, has highlighted. This is a question for ICANN, as in, you know, based on the rules, you are supposed to registries are supposed to give us 30 days notification for Sunrise, so we have ample time to inform our customers and the registrants or the trademark holders. But this is not the case, you know, when we launch all the TLDs that we have experienced. Some does and some don't. So how does ICANN, you know, look into this so that, you know, it doesn't pressure us as a registrar to hold on to that responsibility, because you are the guys who approve the dates. So this is one thing. And of course, when you're talking about collaboration, I think a communication channel we are already talking to the registries and the registries are already talking to us. But there are issues, and along the way, we know that we don't get response from the registries as much as we like them to. So I'm not sure. I mean, this is open to the floor as to how we can get to have a proper communication channel. I know some are very responsive, but some are really not. So,
thanks for the comments.
Thank you, Jenna. Unfortunately, I can't speak on behalf of the registries in terms of the communications, but ICANN is aware of the need to have better engagement between the registries and the registrars, and we've been working very diligently on providing a platform, and I think we've called the tool Arrows, and we've had a beta test. We've gotten positive results. I think we're in the process of providing the feedback back to the community of where we are with that current project and seeing how it could help facilitate this. I think based on what I've been listening from the feedback, this tool can potentially provide that platform to better enhance the communication. And, you know, again, it's dependent on the registries responding to the registrar, which unfortunately ICANN can help provide that platform, but not push one way or the other. In regards to the 30-day notification and ICANN's position on that, unfortunately, since I'm not the person that handles the day-to-day activities of the reviews and the approvals, I'm aware of some, but not all. I'd have to resort back, and this would be a Krista Papik question. So I will be more than happy to bring this or raise this to her attention, and hopefully we can provide some sort of response. I would actually encourage you to even submit a case or an inquiry to our new GTLD at ICANN.org. And I, again, suggest this across the board. Even if you're not a new GTLD applicant, all of those questions are going to our customer service center, which is actually manned by a very nice team that reminds us and provides us with these inquiries, and then our teams as subject matter experts will provide the appropriate response. So we're more than happy, especially for these type of generic, not generic, but more high-level questions about our processes or even about, you know, giving us feedback. I encourage the community to leverage that as an opportunity because it will come back to us, and I've seen plenty of feedback that has been helpful. So thank you.
Thanks, Anne. And I think going back to the collaboration and communication point is that except the ICANN Asia Pac hub here, we have and we've seen the representative from the from China, from Japan, and also from Korea. So the hub has already been established there. I guess it's time for us and also with ICANN to utilize those resources for better communication. I know each of the individual registries you may organize your own like the outreach or the marketing or even educational campaign. But don't forget we have. I mean, so when I say we, I mean ICANN as a whole has a better footprint coverage here at least in the APAC region. So I encourage everybody to utilize that. So with that, if there's no more questions or comments here in the room or
If there's no from the chat pod, I would like to thank our panelists again. Oh, do we have one?
I actually have a comment from Ruben's school. But his comment is, 30-day notice is only required for first-come, first-served sunrises. End-date sunrises run for 60 days, so they are equivalent of a 60-day notice, even if it starts right away.
Thanks for the clarification, Ruben. And so with that, I would like to thank everyone to get up early this morning. We have, a very productive session, and I hope it's not the first one we will, or the last one. We will have this format continue in future ICANN meetings. Thanks to the panelists, thank ICANN staff, especially the Asia PAC team to get it set up. So thanks, everyone. So have a good day.
Thank you, everyone.